Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Pagans Tonight Radio Network, the voice of the pagan world. Pagans Tonight is sponsored by Witchschool.com, your anyone, anytime, anywhere magical education.
And good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, wherever you're at in the world today. It could be any one of 212 countries that regularly visit our site. And I'm your host, Ed Correll, and you can give us a call tonight at 347-308-8222. And I'll be doing a few tarot card readings amongst our many, many things. So let me get started tonight. Tonight we're going to talk about the tarot storm. And what I mean is right now we're in the midst of a psychic storm. And I have been actually hearing about a great deal of effects that are occurring out there in the real world that have to do with the idea of psychic ability. I'm now hearing about tarot readers who cannot keep their readings coherent. They're suffering from massive headaches. This has been amongst all sorts of psychics, the number of massive headaches that have been involved with ideas of it. And basically one of the things that they do and one of the things that is happening is that the way we communicate, the way that we make our predictions, the accelerated learning that's happening is causing a great deal of stress in our system. Not only is it not becoming less and less possible to do predictions for the average person, it's also less and less likely that they're going to be relevant. That's right. Relevance and accuracy are being really questioned. But even if you can get past that, for those readers, they're finding it more difficult to do readings. They're finding that they're getting headaches, or they're finding that their people are becoming stoic. And even the number of readings that are actually sticking, because I know people are restoring and returning money to readers, saying, hey, I need money to basically, I need a refund of what I'm doing. So I've heard of that as well. So that you're starting to see what appears to be a pattern that I'm calling the tarot storm. Or the ability to function as a psychic in this world is being truly and honestly questioned. And now it's very interesting because at the same time, the phenomena of psychism, the idea of how those mechanisms work, how we actually get them to function is actually becoming even more accurate, even more direct, even more focused in understanding how all of this works. That's correct, how it works. On a quantum level, on the ability to predict it, entangled time, entangled space, entangled matter, we know now that there is a lot of evidence that the psychic realm is actually much more tangible than we think, that it actually makes more sense than we think, that it actually is real, it's tangible, it's focused. And we're seeing more and more of it out in the world today, and more so than ever before. And what we are seeing at the same time is that readers are reacting to it. And there's three forms of the storm. One is the accelerated ability to learn. We're seeing that basically people are learning. Two, the emotional shutdown of people made it very difficult for people to do readings and through our communication. Remember, we're doing a lot more communication systems into the world. And third, one of the most difficult aspects is the physical or mental aspects of it. There are people who are actually having a really physically difficult time doing readings. That's right. They're having a physical effect. They're having a physical situation in which their readings are being shut down. They're having headaches. They're not able to ground. They're not able to function. They're not able to see. So we are basically caught in this idea of it. Now, what do I mean by storm? Well, a storm denotes winds, in this case, the velocity of thought, turbulence, that the speed at which people are thinking is not stable. And on top of it, it usually means storm means rain or some sort of material. And this is the number of events that are occurring so quickly in life that people cannot be truly predictive of them. So this is a very difficult situation for a lot of people to deal with. And so it's pretty much a strong hand to do so. So the tarot storm represents that. And for those of you who have been discussing, I've talked to a number of my friends' readers who are not only suffering from the physical maladies, who are having difficulty focusing on their readings, and the difficulty of keeping those readings accurate enough that people feel good about them, right, that they're having a hard time with that. And then you, on top of that, you add to that the difficulty of our own society. We're actually seeing a phenomenon. I don't even know how to explain, you know, of course I don't explain it because I'm explaining it to you now, of being a storm, but they cannot even express it to themselves sometimes. Because, well, you know, no reader wants to be inaccurate. No reader wants to be purposely or intentionally not successful. So what do we do about it? Well, there's not a lot you can do about it at the moment that they would tell you, but I think there's a lot you can do about it. There's a lot you can do to keep yourself harnessed in a storm. And that is, the number one thing is to have your North Star. But we'll talk more about how to keep yourself accurate. But let me go ahead and talk for another minute here on some of the other effects of the storm. People lose decks. Actually, if you're losing cards, is another example of it. People have talked about how many times they've lost cards, or they don't feel attached to the deck that you're dealing with, that you suddenly feel like you're alien to a deck. This is a big emotion where your deck that you're dealing with has suddenly become difficult to deal with. So you don't deal with it very well. You don't deal with it correctly. That's right. That's another way it could be necessarily difficult. And so we have this ideology. So you have the storm of accelerated thinking. What do I mean by this? All the apps, all of the computers, all of the social media, all of the media is coming at readers all the time. And, you know, a lot of readers don't pay attention to this, but their customers do, their clients do, their querents do. And that these get in the fog of the brain up front. And that basically one of the things that happens is the fog up front confuses everybody so much that it makes it hard for them to do it. So readings are taking a longer and harder time. That's right. A longer and harder time to do it. And that's simple. It's that. I've seen this now becoming a phenomenon. So this tarot storm deals with this and in a big way. So this is what we're talking about. And this is one of those things we're talking about. One of those elements we're dealing with. One of those elements we're focused on. Now, how do you get through it? Well, I got some techniques that I'll show you, and I will be doing a reading. I will be doing readings at 347-308-8222. Here momentarily, I will be doing so to demonstrate some of it. But the biggest thing you have to understand, so in this tarot storm, are you focused? Are you having problems reading? Have you difficulties understanding it? Are you basically stuck at the moment trying to figure out how to do better readings through the day? And if so, terrific. If not, we're going to give you some more tips on how to deal with it. But the tarot storm is real, and it's energetic. And I will go through this a little bit more. First, we're going to take our first break. We're going to take Kellyanna. She moved through the fair. And when I get back, I'll do the readings that I have somebody in my queue. So we'll see about that. 347-308-8222. Let us talk about the tarot storm. Are you having difficulties reading? Are you having problems? Are you feeling the symptoms?
My young love said to me, my mother won't mind, and my father won't slight you. stepped away from me, and she moved through the fair. And fondly I watched her move here and move there. Then she made her way homeward with a one star the swans in the evening moved over the lake. The people were saying no two air were wed, but one had a sorrow that never was said. And her gear, and that was the last that I saw of my dear. Oh, last night she came to me. Dead love came in. So softly she came that her feet made no din. Then she laid her hand on me, and this she did say: it will not be long.
And that was Kiva. That was Kellyanna. She came through the fair. A nice and gentle song to begin our situation. So let us talk about more firmly about the tarot story. The person who was waiting for me to try to demonstrate how to get through the reading actually disappeared. So 347-308-8222. I don't normally give out the number. We used to do a lot of call-ins on Pegasus Tonight. But we kind of backed away from it, mostly, I think, because of the nature of the troll. Okay, so people ask me all the time, what do I mean by psychic storm? A psychic storm is when the emotional outlook and the mental outlook of an area are energized in such a way as to make it difficult to remain coherent in our thoughts. We have three main factors in our brain that are important. One, we have mirror neurons. And mirror neurons are these cute little things that make us imitate and want to imitate those people around us. That's right. To kind of mirror the behaviors around us. It's a very important part to social animals to have these, and we are still a social animal. So with a mirror neurons, you can see how people behave so that you can adapt and react to them. This is an important aspect of our lives. When we are all acting together in simultaneously groupthink, we are able to move in large groups. You've seen it. Schools of fishes, flocks of birds, people traveling to and from a train, the tribes of humans who go back and forth. So you've seen this behavior where the mirror neurons allows you to walk in your path. You're able to reflect people's behaviors. You're able to match them. It's an essential social tool. Mirror neurons represent that tool that allows you to imitate and model other people and to absorb them. All right, so you understand that. The second component of the brain is that the amygdala, powerful, powerful amygdala, one of the oldest parts of our brains, which is we share with even the reptiles, with even birds, we share it with a lot of the animals of the world, and exists, and that is a part of the brain that seeks out danger. It's a constant pattern recognition representing breaks in the way things work to cause us fear in order to protect us against that which might attack us. If you saw a sudden piece of brown amongst a field of green, your brain starts to say, hey, there might be a tiger hidden in that bush, and it's about to pounce on you. And, of course, your brain would react very quickly accordingly. It would fight or flight its way out of that, or be startled and say, oh, I'm just misseeing it. Illusions. I scared myself. But the most important thing is it looks for patterns of fear. And if it is being fed patterns of fear, it will go off like a craziness. Our own media is teaching us how to do that right now. Our own media is feeding us through that sort of thing. Our social media, our friends, we're dealing in a time of extensive fear that is being set off to set off our amygdala, which is very interesting because it's doing it against one of the greatest times of abundance in our history. That's right, abundance. Tremendous wealth and abundance in our society. But it wouldn't feel that way because the amygdala and amygdala marketing are really right on top of us. That's right. Amygdala marketing. You heard it. Fear marketing. So part one of your brain is your mirror neurons, which makes you want to imitate people. The amygdala, which allows us to deal with our fear. And then we have our forebrain, our frontal cortex. And that gives us our ability to perceive time. Our frontal cortex gives us the ability to see the past, and I'm holding in great regard, the future with its own trepidations, and to kind of ignore the now. But our forebrain allows us to understand the function of time. Now, there's been great things. There's been hypnocranial suspension, which means that they slow down the front of your brain. And when they do so, they get you into a better focus. They can get you into a thing called flow. They can get you into their various things by slowing it down. Everybody always thinks that if you get the brain much more active, you'd think better. What they're discovering in real science is that actually when they get the brain to shut down large parts of itself to focus on the task at hand, it actually shuts down to get a better focus. In fact, an active screaming brain is a very interesting thing because it is not a controlled brain. It is not a focused brain. It is not a focused energy. And so that kind of sets us off. So the truth is that when we get into focus through meditation, through breath, through sudden danger, there's a lot of things that can focus us. Skiing, surfing, those are great ways of getting into states. Anything that brings us into sort of physical or mental situation where we have to focus at the moment in order to continue to be functional brings us into this flow state. And we know that this flow state is where really great tarot readings begin. So if you enter and drop yourself into flow state, meditation, psychedelic drugs can sometimes do it. I've mentioned surfing. I've mentioned skiing. I've mentioned for some people it's jogging. For a lot of people, exercise is a really big part of this. Anything that keeps your brain and brings it back into focus is going to help because the brain is naturally going to go wired. It's going to go crazy. It's going to go crazy. It's going to go screaming into the night. And as you try to bring it back into focus, which requires discipline, your brain goes, oh, no, I don't want to be disciplined. I'm too afraid. The amygdala moves in and says, oh, no. I'm in danger. I don't care about how you think about it. I don't care if you think we should be focused. I don't care if I think you should be happy. I don't care about any of those things. All I know is that we're in danger. And then the mirror neurons come in and go, okay, let's be like everybody else. Let's calm you down, amygdala. Let's get less confused and let's go ahead and just pretend to be like everybody else. Think about it. Let us mirror those activities, right, which are just like everybody else's, and we'll fit into the pack, we'll blend. So mirror neurons help us blend with society. The amygdala allows us to fear society. And the way our frontal cortex does it allows us to predict society, to predict the actions ahead of us, to foresee things, to calm ourselves down. So you can see throughout this whole process, the biggest factor in it is the essential need to protect oneself against fearful behavior. That's right. To settle oneself against fearful behavior. Now that, if anyone is fueling that negative energy, they're causing a psychic storm. So the thing is that a psychic storm is when the same emotional or similar mental states are affecting an entire region of people, an entire group of people. Now, it doesn't have to be a physical location because today's communication allows it is. But minds that are actually in tune and in wire with themselves are going to be a much more difficult and much more affected area of this sort of problem. It's that simple. Mirror neurons, amygdala, and frontal cortex combine to create how our brains work in a modern society. There's lots of other parts to it. But the modern parts of the society that are being preyed upon, they're being fed upon, they're being anxious and anticipating the problems are these three components. And through these three components, we are being highly manipulated right now. And that storm, that psychic storm, is affecting how people, tarot storm is coming, that affected by people are being affected by readings, how they're able to affect their ability to do readings, how to actually be involved with people altogether. And it's going to have a bigger effect. Let me go on to the next level. Right after we do a quick break, we're going to do Kiva Witching Hour. Be back in 3 minutes and 12 seconds.
Time when we show gratitude.
And so one of the things we're dealing with, and as we can tell that we're dealing with, and let's be honest with ourselves, we know that there's a problem in the world today. And for psychics, the problem is a very simple one. There is so much energy being put out and pumped out into the world that people really are having a difficult time with. Let's be honest. One doesn't unnecessarily understand everything that's happening around them. How could we? You know, how could one do that? It's almost impossible to do so. And because of that, we always have an idea of the idea of how we can function within that world in an accelerated situation. And that truth is that you don't deal with that because of the fact we don't need to. We just need to deal with a few little things and we can deal with it. And that's all. That's all you have to do is you only have to deal with a few things at a time. And because of it, what can you say? I think that one of the things you learned very quickly and suddenly is that the energy that you're dealing with and I think the one of the things you're dealing with primarily and authentically is the idea of managing your space. Remember, okay, so we've got our mirror neurons, and these are the ones when you sit down and do a reading are very, very important because they allow you to very quickly and very rapidly understand and emulate the emotions that are across you. And what if that was suddenly being disrupted? What if people were so scared to reveal themselves, so harsh that they can't let those things. So the mirror neurons are where the empathy comes in because your mind can say, oh, yeah, I can feel you. I mean, literally feel you. And simultaneously, imagine when you know, when you see somebody hurt, like they break an arm and you can almost feel it when you see it happen. It's like it's painful. It's ugly. It's horrid. We can be a part of that. And then when you see that, then you're immediately going, oh, my God, they just broke their arm. What happened? What happened? What happened? What happened? What happened? Why? Oh, no, they came there. Oh, why? And you suddenly are in an anxious state, and you're in almost a panic, even though nothing happened to you because of what you just saw. And now, boom. Now, your person on the other end, if you're doing a reading for somebody, and they're either not wanting to be read, one of the mirror neurons, or two, they're putting up this fear, your own acceleration, your own heart, your own energy will begin to accelerate, to feel it. And that is a problem. And so you go like that, and then your frontal cortex is trying to make sense of it. All right, something just happened. Something's going to happen now. Something's going to happen in the future. Something just happened. Something happened now. Something happened this year. And I'm afraid. I'm afraid. I'm afraid. I'm afraid. And I can see it. Oh, my God, it's a broken arm. So in the past, it's a broken arm. In my future, it's a broken arm. I'm now afraid. What am I going to do? What am I going to do? Now I'll need to deal with it now. So your brain gets into this panic. It gets into this energy. It gets into this sort of panic. Now, if you're like an emergency medical technician, so I just broke their arm in front of you, and you can feel that crunch. You know how it feels. And all of a sudden you go, I have a focus. I'm going to go past my fear because I can now see it. I have some tools. mental tools. I look around. Is anyone else in danger? Is anything else happening? No. Okay, come down to the middle. There's nothing happening there. I can mirror everybody else. I'm going to go to that person with a broken arm. Okay, mirror neurons, stop hurting me. I see it. We're going to shut you down. The frontal cortex says, okay, we're going to take a deep breath. We're going to calm because now there isn't any future, there isn't any past. We're not in any danger. We need to help this person. And through all of it, the immediately goes, yeah, okay, I want to calm down. I got it. We'll watch your back. Focus, help that person. And the frontal cortex goes, okay, we're going to shut everything down except how to help this person. And the mirror neuron says, okay, well, we're going to ignore everybody else except this one individual. We're going to try to understand them. We're not going to copy them, but we're now going to use these things instead of being a copy and an imitator. We're going to use these energies, these abilities, these tremendous capabilities to provide healing energy, either in the form of moving my hands, moving to repair it, to talk calmly to the victim, to talk to the person who has injured themselves and bring them down. And the calmer that I am, I'm now going to trigger into the person who's just hurt their arm when they're in extreme pain. And if everybody else is panicking around them, they're going to even panic more. Oh, my God, I just broke my arm and something else might be happening to me. And so they're really panicky. So if you calm them down, you go, okay, your mirror neurons need to calm this ass down. Look, we're not, none of us are panicking. We're going to handle this. The amygdala can say, oh, my God, if we don't get this fixed, we're going to die. As well as, oh, my God, what are going to happen to us again? So then the mirror neuron says, hey, these guys are trying to help us. Calm down. Don't panic. So we go, calm down. And it does that. And then the frontal cortex goes, all right, we're going to try to get past that. I'm going to meditate. I'm going to calm myself down. I'm going to stop trying to hurt so much. I'm hurting so bad. I need to calm down. And at some point, the person with the broken arm eventually just surrenders. So the EMT comes over, does the repair work, is able to sit in that environment, gets that person fixed enough to calm them down, gets them to a hospital, and the doctors and everybody fixes the arm. But in that moment is a whole lot of emotional storms that can go in a lot of different ways. It actually can kill people, they can harm people, they can hurt people. As a reader, you're seeing the emotional crippling of other people, literally people being taking a blow. Instead of it being a broken arm, it's a broken heart. It's a broken purpose. It's a broken intent. It's a broken reality. It's a broken piece of reality. It's a broken piece of consciousness. And as a psychic, you're able to step one step farther than that. That's right. One step farther than that. You just can't mirror what's in the outside. You can actually mirror what's inside. And that's a very powerful position. And so we're going to take a one quick break called Soul Care by MMR 347-308-8222. I'll sit down and talk with you about this because now there are a lot of psychics out there who are having difficulties with this. But we're talking about, we'll be back in 3 minutes and 26 seconds with Soul Care, and we'll see what goes on from there.
Nobody home, meat nor drink nor money have I none, yet till we be married, hey ho, nobody home.
Cake by Midnight, Murphy's Roundup. And let's go on a little bit. So, if you're going to call in for a reading, you got to wait for a few minutes. I'm not going to, I guess they expect me to push the button right away. So, I'm always kind of worried about that. I want to go take a break and then I was going to bring back. But one of the things we're going to say right now, so the combination of these three factors are now being affected directly. And let me add another factor. If you believe in spirit guides, there are a lot of people. Let me go ahead and be very honest. 347-308-8222. A lot of readers are talking about shadow people. I'm now getting reports of shadow people all over the place, and they're seeming now to be attracted to the vortex around readings. I have at least two professional friends who have now said that they've watched the tarot cards be flipped by shadow people, that people are being that people who are coming into the reading are actually attracting or bringing with them some sort of shadow form, and that they see when the deck is shuffled, they've actually seen some at a certain oracle level seen that being affected. As if we now have on top of everything else that is confusing us, we might actually have an active force. A spiritual active force that is now trying to bring us even deeper into our own chaos, to bring us into deeper, to this sort of zone of psychic negative energy generation. Psychic energy negative generation. And that we are now creating negative energy. And that one of the things that they're seeing is that these sort of elements of the shadow people, the riders of the storm of sorts, we'll use the song. But, Moody Blues, riders in the storm. But are there riders in the psychic storm? Are there elements inside of our system? We do know now that our media companies are feeding the amygdala. They're feeding fear marketing. Amygdala marketing is really essential right now. We know that this is happening. We are being fed it. I'm seeing perfectly good readers make lousy. I know a woman I consider the queen of earth and sky, one of the most beautiful readers, so I'm not going to name them. But they're amongst the major readers, and I've seen her, okay, I revealed more than I should have, but I've seen her make political prediction after political prediction after political prediction that are being made from her emotional state, her mental state, her hunger and her desire, not her oracle ability, and that those readings are failing month after month. Prediction after prediction is failing for them. This is a kind of an example of what's happening out there. So readers who are being so affected by that they're being so disrupted that they're not even using their oracle ability, but are pretending to kind of like make political predictions which aren't being correct, which aren't happening correctly, which has become so different because they're so angry, so mad. The amygdala's been feeling, their fellow people are outraged, they're mirroring it. And then instead of going deep inside themselves, which is the job of the psychic above all else, it is the ability to go inside of themselves and be able to focus on it, to focus deeply, to focus intensely, and then to basically utilize the power of the mirror neurons, the power of the frontal cortex, and deeper parts of our, some people would say our pituitary gland, some will be saying some of our other cognitive abilities, to go deep inside of ourselves and allow our intuition at the quantum level, at whatever level you want to call it, whatever you want to call it, the psychic level, the quantum level, the spiritual level, that place where the voice of deity, the voice of the divine, the inner voice, the higher self, the spirit self, the medium, whatever it is that you want to talk about it. And I like to think of it as the flow of the universe, the voice of God, the voice of the internal spirit that flows through you to do the reading gets blocked because you're so surface upset. Your mirror neurons are on the surface. The mirror surface, you're dealing with it. You're hungry for it. And so now it's been disrupted. There is an intentional activity to disrupt thought. And this is making it very difficult for a lot of tarot readers to do readings. People are being so put against solid ground, to be put so harshly against it, that they're now finding themselves trapped and dealing with a mess. So they're dealing with an individual that they're finding hard to read. They're emotionally and mentally can be affected by the outside world, so they can't go deep. And some people are reporting, even to the point that this is allowing for entities that we normally would just clear away and push the edge of it, to be brought even deeper into the reality and to give them energy to affect what is happening. Really big a situation. If you believe in the psychic realms, if you believe in the spiritual realms, if you believe in this sort of phenomena, then this is a phenomena, then this is a phenomenon, you can go, well, I believe in all of that, but Ed, you're just talking crap. You're just talking bullshit. You're just talking nonsense. And so, you know, that sort of thing. You can be said that because you can do that. You can accept that and you can believe that and you can be perfectly okay. Your set of inner brain, your reality could be very different from mine. And the only thing that we have in common is that we do share some mutual outer interfaces that basically allow us to communicate my energy to your energy, my sonic capability, hitting an electronic microphone, hitting some electronic wires, flying into a system, getting to a place which has a storage of dumb memory, which then can be copied, that dumb memory of sound patterns, that my words going through wires, being sorted into a dumb memory, then you're making a copy, then you're saying, well, I want to hear those patterns. Those patterns go through your electronics and emit in the same sort of pattern that it is. It then vibrates the air around you and it gets into your ear, or bone induction. A few people are using bone induction. And then you're hearing what I have to say, and then you're making that connection with me. Right now, that's very one way. If you call in, then we put it into a two-way communication. So that we can have this. And if you're listening to this as a podcast or listening to this in the future from that section of area of dumb memory, then you're actually listening to the past. So that has happened in the past that is now being applied to the future. The reality that we're dealing with right now is to accept that there are so many things occurring that we may not have a clear understanding of. But we do see that they have an effect. And now we're starting to see them use words. And I'm 21, cybernetics, P-S-Y-C-E-B, cybernetics, yes. You know, instead of C-Y, we put P-S-Y. Instead of a C, P-S. Is understand that we're going to have to create software that is going to deal with our mental states as well as our physical states. There we are. Well, why don't we take a minute out? We're going to be search for solid ground, and we'll be right back.
Your arm to hold you tight and keep you warm. I will be the song you sing when nothing makes a sound. I will be your foothold in your search for solid ground. I will be your gentle rain when the land is all dried up. I will be your sweet relief when you're drinking from the cup. I will be your lover when no friend is around. I will be your foothold in your search for solid ground. I will be your tears when you are crying out in sorrow. I will plant.
plug up all my drains. My favorite shirt's been missing now for 6 weeks more or less. Where they've hidden all my guitar picks, I can only guess. And I can hear them giggling in the corners where they hide. I find their tiny footprints in the potted plants outside. And when they start to sing, it sounds like airplanes on the roof. And I can't get to sleeping when they're doing the pixie glide. The change is always missing from the dresser by my bed. I tell the itty-bitty chieftain before I lay my head. In the morning when I count again, I'm a couple quarters shy. There's pixies in my bedroom and they think they're being sly. And I can hear them giggling in the corners where they hide. I find their tiny footprints in the potted plants outside. And when they start to sing, it sounds like airplanes on the roof. And I can't get to sleeping when they're doing pixie glides.
Pixie Glide by Midnight Murphy Roundup. And so we're back. We're talking about the Tarot Storm. We're talking about the different activities that are happening now.
Yes.
And who am I speaking with? I know it's a, how are you doing? You're on the air with Sir Carell. Ed?
Hi.
How you doing?
Good.
Hello?
Hello, this is Gigi.
Okay, there we go. How you doing, Gigi? What can I do for you?
Good. Well, I guess I have a question. Are you doing readings?
I am doing a readings.
Awesome, awesome.
And so,
can I ask a kind of a general question, like what
sure
do you,
you
see?
Can.
Great, awesome. What do you see in the cards for me?
All right, so I'm shuffling our decks right now.
Okay.
And just say stop whenever you want me to. And the idea of this is that basically there's no distance between us in the essence because we're connected. So the idea is that your energy is going through there in various ways until you tell them over to stop with the cards.
Okay.
I can get better. My microphone doesn't pick up the deck very well. I have to get a shuffle sound here. All right. So we've done that. So I'm going to take the first card out, and we're going to turn it over. And I'm using the Tarot of Hecate, of all things, by Reverend Don Lewis. And the first card I'm pulling over is the Magician, which means manifestation. Right now, the Magician card is dealing with manifestation. So you're so the first thing I can tell you is generally for you, you're in a manifestation phase. Which means is that your words are carrying more weight than you think they do. It's a very important point. One of the secrets of a magician's power that most people don't realize is that words carry a lot of volume, a lot of power, a lot of energy. And the way this card is showing up, especially from the way the question is lying, is that your words have a lot more power than you're realizing it. All right, just go ahead and give me a number, just a random number.
7.
Okay. Okay, this is interesting. The next card I got was Lovers, basically, the Major Arcana. So we've had two Major Arcanas for you. And the first one actually told us about the Magician card, saying that you're in a manifestation. And the sense that I had was that your words are carrying more power than you realize. Now we get the Lover card, and one of the things that tells me is that, and the way it's coming up, and the first intuition that I had with it, and right now, a lot of people are having a hard time bringing in their intuition. How is your intuition, Gigi? Is it right?
I think it's pretty good.
Okay. One thing that says about Lovers is about the fact that you're having an impact on other people around you. So you're having a tremendous amount of impact right now. The Magician's card with the Lovers card is saying that you are having impact. Right now, you've been kind of building it up in the past, but now you're having impact. And that's an interesting thing to have because not a lot of people are having that right now. All right.
Oh.
So we're going to pull one more thing. I'm going to ask you to just put my hand over the edge of the deck. My microphone got to pick these things up better. I got a really tight mic mouth instead of having the fun one. So everybody out there knows. I'm trying to figure out how to make tarot readings more fun on the radio. I've done hundreds of them, but that is. And as soon as you want me to stop, this is the intent card. This is what's happening next to give us a thing.
Death.
So tell me to stop anytime you feel that you've got it with your intent.
Right. Stop.
Okay. All right. We got the Ace of Swords. So, and the one thing that I see with the Ace of Swords here is that's a new beginning. So one of the things that's, that is happening is that you're, I don't feel like you're having a new beginning because there's something false about that ideology. That didn't sound right, but that you're commanding yourself a new beginning. It's almost what I would call it.
Yeah.
That you are right now, you have in your mind your activity. You have a mind in your activity right now. You have your words. You have the group that you're wanting to do so. And you even have the tools to create something pretty amazing. You just have it right there. It's right on the edge of your psychology. It's right there on the edge of you. And that's a really strong thing. And what I'm not seeing here is the fuel, that piece of passion. And that's what you're right now seeing. I'm seeing here is that you've got all of the mental and intuitive skills right there, but there's no fuel to your passion. There's a sense of almost, I would almost call it, not a loneliness, because that would deny your ability to overcome that. I sense that you're a fairly strong person. But a lack of companionship, if that makes any sense. A lack of familiar
mm-hmm.
soul. Not mm-hmm. loneliness is like, oh, I need somebody. No, that's nonsense. I don't feel that that's true at all.
That's
but like,
true.
Man, I would
that's
like
true.
To have some help. I would like to have more help. And I think that's the first thing you've got to start asking for people to help. And the thing that I keep seeing with this idea of manifestation is that taking your physical skill and putting it on the cyberspace, taking your physical skill, your mental physical skill, what I mean in the physicality, not
mm-hmm.
necessarily it's all physical. I feel it's the mental aspect of it. And getting yourself online, getting yourself into the marketplace, into the sort of mix of it. And so this is it's a lifestyle question, but I feel very strongly that it is a question of finance, money. It's how you live your life. It's where you're going to make your resources. That's the way it is. And that you've got the words, you've got the companion, you've got all the people around you, you have the intuition, you know to go for it, but there's something holding you back. And that's fuel. You don't have enough companions. So the basic thing you need to do is just to get out and start talking. Because that thing that is working in and it says, and it's almost like it's whispering in the back of mind. They don't want to tell you it's secret because you might use it. There's something about what you're doing that is so cool, but your mind is like kind of don't want anyone else to kind of feel it because you're still working on it. What is it that you're working on? Can I ask?
Did you say that it was, what did you say was like yours? What did you say?
Oh, that you like. You've got this idea that your mind has got, you've got this idea in your head. I can feel it. It's
yeah.
right there.
Yes. Yeah.
And, but it's saying it's yours, and meaning like yours as in you personally, like your brain is saying, I need to protect that. I can feel there's a lot of energy
right.
to protect.
Yeah.
That you don't want to tell me what it is. But what it is telling me is that you've got the right words for it. Your words have greater impact. That your emotion and your capability of getting people to hear you is possible. Not only possible, but probable, a lover's card. The Ace of Swords says that you have the psychic focus to do so, the mental focus to do so. But what we're feeling back is the lack of the fuel. The energy that's saying, I don't have, the energy that you're saying that once I get started, I'm afraid of not being able to get there. And one of the things I sense more than anything else is that you've got to stop thinking of it as a physical activity or even an emotional or mental activity, meaning on this side of the fence. And you guys start thinking of it, how can I relate it to a lot of people? The idea's
right.
got high impact. So how can you bring it online? How can you bring it on speaking in front of people? How can you bring it out in front of people in a way that you can sustain it?
Right.
All right. Don't be afraid of bringing it up, because I'm telling you right now, the idea, I can feel it very strongly, that it's a very important idea for you. Not only for you, but for the world around you. It's going to have a high impact. What is saying it is that you are being protective about it, and that you really need to figure out a way to go ahead and express it. Because right now, what I'm calling the psychic storm, what I'm calling the sort of emotional, mental mess out there. Winter is coming, I tell people. The world is changing very rapidly.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds like that you need to go ahead and just act, period. Stop worrying about it. Stop, you know, doing it. And act, not impulsively, because you're not an impulsive person. You're spontaneous, but you're not impulsive.
Exactly.
Tell that. Okay. Huh?
That's very true.
There's a difference. Oh, good. You actually know the difference, right?
Oh, yeah.
And that it is, you should really act. I'm going to tell you more than anything else that you should really act on this. And the one thing I can tell you about the idea is that it's very personal. It's not. It feels very personal in the sense of it deals with people's inner lives. Of your secret. It's not a physical thing like, oh yeah, I'm going to deal with the outer life. But you really have got a tool, a mental tool, something in your mind that can actually physically impact and change people's inner lives. And that's why this idea is really, really kind of gnawing at you at the back of your head that you really need to get it out. Hmm? That's my reading. That's what I see in the future. You're getting this thing out. It's screaming for you to get your ideas out there. Huh?
Yeah.
All right. So
I know that there's a lot of moving parts. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No. Please.
No, that's okay.
A lot of moving
parts.
Okay.
You were about to say something. When you say get it out, there is a lot of moving parts, and especially online. And you know, I used to spend a lot of time online and on the computer, and I noticed just within the last couple of years that I really don't want to, I'm not drawn to that anymore. It's like, you know, I've been using my left brain quite a bit throughout my life, and
mm-hmm.
I feel that the right brain is now capturing more of my attention, and that's really where it's at for me. It's more comfortable. So you're right, I would like people, you know, helpful people. I would like to have a little team to accompany me on the journey, you know, so that I can be in my genius and other things can be taken care of.
So you're right about the idea of pulling back on the web, okay, in the sense of it grabbing your attention. Okay. So I'm going to do an outcome card, but I would like to offer you one part of this, what sounds like you can benefit from a simple idea that if you acted, I think you have the ability to. Not everybody does. And I'm going to say this to everybody. I'm a snob. If you know me, if you heard me a lot, I could be a bit of a snob about this. But one of the things that you have to understand is that you've got to stop looking at the web or the internet for yourself as a communication tool, okay?
Mm-hmm.
It's not for you, not in this sense. You communicate in other ways, deeper ways, more personal ways.
Mm-hmm.
You have to see the web now as an attention-gathering space. Think of it more as like bringing people together for a moment to your festival, to your front door, to your house.
Mm-hmm.
Inverse the process. Take it from one where it is a physical push of ideas to one that is now pulling it into your world, creating your space. Don't worry about everybody else. You only need a few people to help you. You only need a small number of people to understand you. So instead of trying to sell the idea, because you don't need to sell it, once this idea gets out and you start doing it, you're going to attract a lot of people. You already have a natural attraction.
Mm-hmm.
Once you refine it, you just need a few people. So instead of looking out at the whole world web, decide how you want to build a house on it. Imagine it a house or a temple, your space. And just be open to let people into that space. Instead of utilizing it as a machine, think of it more like a house or space that you're inviting them into. And then you can work with them from there. So use it for gathering attention, not to make yourself known, but to say, this is where my stage is. Because that's a much more important place. How are you going to perform? How you're going to give out your gift? And that's a more important thing. Don't worry about how you're going to sell it. The space is, how are you going to bring people into the space so that they can feel it?
Mm.
And then I think that you'll have a lot of energy. I absolutely think that's the thing that you're not seeing, is that you're seeing it as, I have to go out there into the world instead of coming and bringing the world into you. Think of it bringing the world into you. So where you can control the space. Hmm?
I was doing videos. I was doing Facebook videos. And so when you say that, the way you language it does kind of remind me of the feeling that I got when I was doing that. I was definitely creating a space where I was inviting people in, and they were really giving me feedback for, you know, and revisiting and giving me feedback for appreciating the visit with me, let's just say.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, good. Actually, good. I like that sort of thing. All right, so we're going to do one last card, an outcome card.
Okay.
All right. I'm going to just run my hands over the deck. I've got the deck laid out here. So the remaining 75 cards are there. I just say stop or outcome or abracadabra. Anything that you want me to stop there?
Abracadabra.
There you go. All right. And so I've got the Four of Cups. So the outcome of this is that you're going to find it as soon as you set your hearth, right? You're going to find what you need. So what you need, so this outcome is saying that you're going to establish yourself what I would call a hearth or a stable place, you know, four legs of a table, four legs of a chair. So what you haven't allowed yourself to do is saying, is that this is my bedrock. This is where I'm going to sit. This is where I'm going to have my table. This is where, if you want to be here with me, this is where you have to come to me. The outcome of this is that your success depends on not trying to expand so much, but to put some limits into place and create a space and create that space that you want. Hmm? And the thing that's keeping you from doing it is that you're keeping thinking really expansive. You keep thinking about everybody else around you, and you're not getting enough back for it. And now you almost have to reverse the whole process and saying, okay, who's going to come down and sit with me? How can I control the space? The Four Cups of that idea of the table sitting there, the four legs standing, the four walls to your house. This is a stable place, and that's what you're... that's your offering in this sort of storm, is that you have the ability to create stable space for people, for all that around you, this idea that does so. And that's what you should be conveying. And if you can get that outcome, it shows me that you'll have a strengthened house. I mean, it doesn't show necessarily like amazing success, but it does show you this sort of stable, long-term success that can make you happy over a longer period of time. And That's my reading here for you. I hope it was useful, and I hope it was even remotely applicable.
Does it mean that that I would have to, not that I would have to, but is it suggesting that I invite people to my home?
Yes, more or less, and I mean home in two ways, right? And home means yes. It means yes, and in the sense of yes, I mean to your home, but also into places where you interact strongly.
Right.
And we were talking mostly about taking your idea more online. So, and I was using the home as the euphemism of, in that case, of bringing him to your space. Instead of having everybody go run out to you, you go out to people's chat rooms, you're going onto Facebook, you're bringing them into your groups, into your spaces, into your home. So if you're wanting to do more of readings, maybe putting a space in your home where you can have people have for tea, have more association. One of the things is that people want to connect with you. That's what I'm seeing. They want to connect with you. You want them to connect with you, not the other way around. You're able. So you have too much of a giver's attitude. When you go out to look for connections, right? You can create connections with people so well that you overwhelm yourself with people who don't really need your connection.
I definitely can resonate with that, and I'm definitely more aware at this stage of the game that it feels much more resonant for me, much more comfortable when people are attracted to me. In other words, I'm magnetizing people instead of having to go out and attract them because of something that I'm intentionally trying to do.
Right.
Yeah.
So
imagine yourself
as a pitchfork. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is probably a better way to phrase it for me. You are right now, imagine yourself as a pitchfork. And as long as you're quiet or don't really bang around, as long as you don't do anything, nobody knows you're there.
Right.
But the minute you hit it against the table, everybody turns around to see what the heck it is.
Mm.
Okay. Right now, you're a silent tuning fork. And you need to learn to strike your tuning fork, your sound, where and when you want the attention.
Mm-hmm.
And wherever you attract your attention is your home.
Right.
Your mental home, your space. So the best way to phrase it is that your skill, your ability, is very similar to a tuning fork. You can grab people's attention quickly just by pounding it on the table and having them set to a certain harmony.
Mm-hmm.
You can bring them in tune to you very quickly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that happened last night for me as well.
Right, and that's your skill. And that's what I mean by your home. That space is when you're in that space, in that flow, where you're using that connection ability. The problem is that in the past you've used it in a way that it becomes a fascination. It's like, wow, how'd you do that? And people are looking at you, but they're not really interacting with you.
They're not really connecting with me.
Because you were demonstrating a show. You weren't doing anything. You were an entertainer at that point.
Right.
Now you need to go from being, that's what the thing is that you're not an entertainer anymore. You can be, and that can be part of it, but you're much more into the teaching phase. You're much more into coaching is the word I get into my mind.
Yeah.
Face of it. And that's your space.
Connecting.
And then, yeah.
Really,
your
connecting.
Skill is a connection skill.
Mm-hmm.
That's your skill, is
mm-hmm.
connecting. And you can force a connection. You can allow a connection. You have
right.
a great ability to create those connections regardless of the circumstances.
Yes.
So.
Yes, absolutely.
And that's where, remember I told you, your words have greater impact than you do. You have more companions than you realize. And I think that now you have to get past the fear of making connections, and you need to use discernment to realize the individual value of these connections. Meaning, to weigh them honestly. This is,
Yes, discernment. Absolutely, yes.
And that's what's keeping you from your basic goal. And that fear of it is that you don't want to feel overwhelmed. The biggest thing I get is that you don't want to be overwhelmed. So this is that idea of building your walls and your limitations and seeing where you're allowing to happen to you versus your skill, because you have a wildfire skill. It's called the wildfire skill. I'm a wildfire person. Meaning when I get started, I get everybody so anxious. And I can make lots of connections. And I can make a lot of energy happen. But like some of those people are just leaves, and they burn off pretty quickly. And some of them are twigs, and they're burning off quickly. And a few of them are branches, and they burn off a little longer. And then you just have a few logs left. And you go, well, was all that worth it?
Exactly. And what do I have much left? Yeah, to sustain me. Not really.
But a furnace works differently. You put a walls around that fire, right? And now you've got a place where the heat is retained and the energy is retained and kept more useful for a longer period of time.
Right.
If you throw leaves in it, so what? They burn up pretty quickly, but you've got now more control over your environment. You get a resource from them. Like if you're teaching classes, you get a small amount of fee and do so. There'll be a few sticks in there. They'll last longer. The logs last longer, and the logs can last for days in that condition. By creating walls of limitations, a control of where your environment is, you can contain that fire much better. Because you know you've got the fire, and that's what what the energy is telling you. You've got the fire. There's no question of being able to make those connections, getting that energy going. Now you have to say, well, once I get that energy going, where am I going to use it for?
Right.
Am I going to warm my home with it? If I'm going to heat my water with it?
Right.
Because you've always, because up to this point, it sounds like a lot of it, that's what from this way this reading is going in from where it's kind of the connection is that you've always kind of just lit the fire and see what happens. But you've never really thought about what could I really do with it if I really put some controls over it. And if you, and discernment and allowing the connections to come to you. And to be and to kind of create an environment where you bring them into your home, where you can actually control most of the elements into it, are going to give you is absolutely a path to success for you. Because you've got all the other parts already.
Right, and the one thing that I am a little bit challenged with is to fine tune the idea before I actually start. Hitting the, as you say, the tuning fork on the table, because I know people will turn around, and I want to make sure, like you said, my words have power and impact. I want to make sure that I fine-tune my idea, and I'm really clear about my intention and my idea before I go out there. And this is the challenge I'm having right now. And
so,
yes, it does have to do with spirituality. Yeah.
So I'm going to tell you the one where this is not a reading. This is my own personal experience. And as I've helped a lot of people, I'll tell you this is what it is. Perfection is the enemy of progress. Progress over perfection.
Okay. I get it.
So one of the greatest things that people happen is that they get 90% of the way. They can take them a long time or a little time to get 90% of the way. But that last 10% of the way is such a hard place to get for most people that they're not willing to show what they've done so far. The idea that you never show a work in progress. If you've got most of it, right? And you start sharing it, the rest comes.
Yeah.
Because it adapts to its environment. It's just progress over perfection. Perfection is the enemy of progress because perfection, this idea of being perfect, means that other people are working on it. And that basically, if you've ever seen how real leaders lead, first they allow themselves to fail a little bit. But they get in before everybody else does. If you have an idea that you think is really perceptive, they get in before everybody else, and they allow themselves to be less. It's like the idea. Do you remember when Yahoo sucked? Do you remember when AOL used to suck really bad to get online? And, you know, I don't know how your age, but for me, I've been working on internet radio, and I went from, like, really awful where I had lots of wires and everything else to this really simple system. Right? But you get in there, even with your flaws, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's how you get, you know, that's how you get known. And then you can, if you have action, if you have energy coming into you, you have connections, and most importantly, resources coming into you,
mm-hmm.
then you fine-tune your messages a little stronger. It'll fine-tune itself. But the biggest thing is don't get trapped into this idea of perfection. You're not going to ever be perfect. None of us are. We're all flawed. And in fact,
yeah.
the thing we learn most is that our flaws are the most attractive features we have.
Mm-hmm.
People
no, I
forget.
Totally get it.
If, people talk about it all the time. Oh, I love the way his nose is a little bent. He had that little bump on his nose. Or, wow, she had everything, but she had that mole on her cheek. Hmm? Yeah, there's all sorts of little things. Hmm?
Yeah.
There's a truth to that, that we love our, you know, people love our imperfections, our flaws.
No, it's very true. It's really very true. And
so,
I guess I was just you know, referring to the things that I want to have in place so that, you know, it kind of is more streamlined. If somebody wants to get in touch with me, there's a place that they can go to, and I get concerned about credibility, so you want to have your website, blah, 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 you know, all of that stuff.
Okay. So today, websites are no longer essential, right? They're not.
Yeah.
You can do any platform you want. I mean, so don't get caught up into that. I tell people all the time, just do, right?
Just
get yourself a Google
yeah.
phone.
If and
you
figure
want to do
it out later.
Just get yourself, yeah, just figure it out. Just get yourself a Google phone and get yourself an email address, right? If you're doing video, go on
already.
YouTube. And just, huh?
Yeah. I've got that already.
But you have all
YouTube,
the
I haven't
of it.
Figured out. Yeah, I haven't figured out YouTube yet. But see, this
okay.
is what I want to call. I want to call in, you know, somebody who can really resonate with the work that I want to do and then be able to be kind of like somebody who supports, you know, just on those levels. And then, so that's, I think that's what I'm wanting to work on right now.
Well, terrific. Well,
yeah.
Well, thank you for being on with us. I think that sounds great. So do me a favor.
Yeah.
Check out the Witch and Famous Agency page on Facebook if you're on there, or witchandfamousagency@gmail.com, right? And when you're ready, a little
mm-hmm.
bit for the idea, there's a number of people out there who are doing coaching out there. There might be of some help to you.
Okay.
It's one of the groups I'm involved with strongly, and it sounds like it might be up your alley. So, yeah, I hope you'll check that out.
Wonderful, wonderful. And do you do private readings as well?
I don't generally do.
Oh.
But you, everybody follows me. You can check me out at ed@pagan.aol.com. Write me. I'll be happy to talk with you. But no, you're the first reading I've done in a while, actually. After 40 years, no. I don't do that many personal private readings out there to people. But I'd be more than happy to speak with you and to find out more about this, because it sounds very fascinating.
Okay.
So
wonderful.
So yeah, absolutely. Isn't that interesting? So no, ed@aol.com. Just give me right there, yeah, absolutely. I'll be happy to speak with you more on this. I really appreciate you sharing this with us this evening.
Oh, my pleasure, Ed. Thanks so very much. I really appreciate connecting with you.
And the same blessings. All right, folks, that's it, the Tarot Storm. Let me go ahead. I have about 4 minutes left of the show. So that's how one way of doing a reading. It's very probably a different style than you're used to, but one of the things that was important during the reading is to try to go through the emotions and the mentality and to just keep going at it. Don't worry about anything. Just keep going for it. That's all I can tell you. So I am going to say this has been a great thing. This is the Tarot Storm. I've got a lot more out there. Tell me what you're thinking. You can write us at PagansTonightRadio@gmail.com. Is it PagansTonightRadioNetwork@gmail.com? You can contact us through our Facebook page. We've got tons of ways you can contact us. And, of course, always help with that, which will next week is going to be the Corellian Lustration, and we're going to do a live broadcast from there. Support us, help us, go to witchschool.com and find out how it is. And I'm going to finish us tonight with Midnight Murphy Riders, and it's going to be Search for Solid Ground.
I will be your arm to hold you tight and keep you warm. I will be the song you sing when nothing makes a sound. I will be your foothold in your search for solid ground. I will be your gentle rain when the land is all dried up. I will be your sweet relief when you're drinking from the cup. I will be your lover when no friend is around. I will be your foothold in your search for solid ground. I will be your tears when you are crying out in sorrow. I will be your laughter, your hope and your tomorrow. I will be your lifeline when you're feeling nearly drowned. I will be your foothold in your search for solid ground. I will be your champion when problems come your way. I will be your sunlight, I will be your day. I will be your peace inside when peace cannot be found. I will be your foothold in your search for solid ground. I will be your stronghold, your shelter from the hold you tight and keep you warm. I will be the song you sing when nothing makes a sound. I will be your foothold in your search for solid ground. I will be your foothold in your search for solid ground.
Listening to Pagans Tonight. Pagans unite on Pagans Tonight. Many paths, one network. For over 5 years, we've been the place to connect with the best, brightest, and most trusted voices in the pagan world. Every night,